Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, and welcome to Love, Life, and Positivity. I am so excited. I am so elated, and yet still I have a heart full of gratitude for the opportunity that Kayla and Josie are allowing me to be on their network and their inspirational network as well. I'm so grateful, and it's by the grace of divine that I am now living my life in full expression. This is just another blessing, y'all. When I hear that song, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I think about my mother doing her holy dance to that song. I grew up with that song. So I ask you now to just take a breath with me and bow in reverence in your heart space and acknowledge that presence, that one power that resides in the heavens and all over Mother Earth. We are so grateful that you have decided to. And one of the things that I like to say, Love, Light, and Positivity is about bringing you inspiration that will inspire you and that will support you in being who you are, where you are right now in the space that you are in. And I have come to know that I have to live my life in full expression. And my name is Imaja Jubilee. My name is Imaja Jubilee. And when you will hear in throughout these shows how I came to that name, because that name was given to me in a dream by the Almighty. My mission and my purpose is to be of service to other human beings on the earth, no matter what your race, your color, or where you live on this planet. I am to inspire, encourage, and influence you to continue in this process called life so that you can emerge and evolve and fulfill your purpose. And one of the things that we have to remember that I think we sometimes forget, and my mother, Marie Harris Brown, taught me this. You have to remember that you are here to be loved because you're created in love by this love just to continue being loved for yourself, for others, all in your neighborhood and everywhere else you go because you can't be nothing else. And we are to be the light, not the lampshade, as one of my friends says. So we have to be loved at all times. And today I want to let you know that in the world, there are lots of things going on in the world that we need to shine our lights even more brightly at this time. And we can do it. We can do it one human being at a time. So today, with zest and zeal and enthusiasm, I just have this passion for living, y'all. I have a passion for living, and it's from a heartfelt space within inside of me that I share this. And as I said, hopefully you will gain something along the way that will inspire you, not motivate, because when people motivate you, if you pay close attention to how you react after somebody motivates you, it only lasts for a short span of time. It only lasts for a short span of time. But when you are inspired, you incorporate what they are telling you and you take it into you from a heart space. Motivation deals with your head. But you all know what ego stands for. Ego stands for edging God out. So when you are inspired by someone, you bring God into the picture, and then you become awakened by the spirit that lives within all of us. And you will go forth and you produce that love. You share that love with whomever you meet. My mother would always say, one of her favorite sayings was, if you don't love me, keep on acting like you do because you sure will come to love me. So true. My mother made her transition in 2002. And that's what I live my life by because that was what she was about. Being Imaja Jubilee, there are many other roles that I have on this earthly adventure and this earthly journey. I am an author. I am a poet. I am a songwriter and a life coach and an inspirational speaker. Most of all, you know what I am? Just like you are, I am a spiritual being having a human experience, and I am a beloved, beloved child of God. So beloved, and I call everybody beloved. I send out love to you, this beloved community that I'm now in. It is so wonderful to be with you. And I can tell you all, one of the things I know for sure in this life, that it's a process and it don't happen overnight. We're surrounded by everything that goes on in the world again, that we have to be cognizant and we have to be diligent about looking at ourselves and the role that we play in everything that's happening to us. But we have to pay attention to our end. And I learned that a long time ago. And so it wasn't always like that. And in this show, I'm going to share with you my journey and where I have come from. And also, you know where my goals are now, but I didn't start out like this. And one of the things that I had to do, I learned a long time ago, when I was 16 years old, I grew up in Charlotte County, Saxe, Virginia, about an hour and a half away from Richmond, Virginia, on a farm. And my daddy is a Baptist preacher. He's alive. He's 93 years old, and he lives with my nephew, Junie, in fact, who takes very good care of him right now. And growing up in that area, in that rural area, we did a lot of farming, and we also, you were to be seen and not heard, and I would cry at the drop of a hat. And so I never learned to express my feelings. But what I did learn, and the tool that I'll be talking about later, was writing. I used to have this pink diary. It was called a diary then, and it had a little key to it, you know. And I would sit down, and I would write in it. Last year, I published my first book, Couldn't Keep It to Myself. And that was an accumulation of poems for over a 20-year period. This book, I tell you my whole story as I go through it through poetry and short stories. I wrote a poem when I was 16 years old, and I grew up in a community that was surrounded, and in my family, there were alcoholics, there were drug addicts, there were people that had food addiction, and I say that not to put them down at this point, but to give you a realistic picture of what I grew up around. And I had a grandmother who ruled with a black iron skillet and made wine from everything. She made blackberry wine, and she made peach wine. But one of her most famous wines was dandelion wine. And the family would drink it. My brother started drinking it when he was 15 years old. And that's the way the family pattern started, with the alcoholism. There was a lot that happened in the Sachs community. And at that time, again, I said, they called me crybaby. And as I said before, I would cry at the drop of a hat. But then I met the pen and the paper in that journal that I had. And so today I'm going to read you the first poem that I wrote. We're going to start off with a piece of poetry that I wrote when I was 16. And just to set it up a little bit, I lived down the street from it was a road, it wasn't a street then, from what they call a juke joint. That's where everybody went to party, and my father always called it a den of sin. It's what he always called it, because people would go in and out of that house all times of the night, and then they would do some things that weren't so kosher. And I would be in my community. I wanted to listen to what was going on, because they were playing all this music that sounded good by B.B. King and a whole lot of other people. They played the blues and everything. And I saw people going in and out of the house. And then I would go to church on Sunday morning, and some of them would be sitting in the Amen corner. It blew my mind. So I couldn't express that at the time. So what did I do? I wrote this poem. And this is the first poem that I wrote at age 16. I'm going to read it to you now. It's called, Where Have All the Christian Folk Gone? Where have all the Christian folk gone? They sure ain't gone to no heavenly home. Why, Brother Joe, I saw you at Sister Cece's last night, coming out the back door, pawing all over Brother Sam's wife. And oh, by the way, Brother Sam, wait just a pea-picking minute. It was you I saw going into the Drake Branch ABC store. And if the truth be told, you become a regular customer, and you've been buying more and more, because I see you carrying larger brown bags than you ever have before. Some of y'all be thinking Sister Sally been having Bible study classes at her house on Wednesday night. Well, that's just a lie. And a sin of the shame, I tell you, I'll be willing to bet that that is all she's not doing, being done in Jesus' name. Brother Earl and I saw Reverend Shaky, the high-esteemed Reverend Lackadoo, shoving money in Sister Sally's apron pocket when they came out of her house. And they be laughing and saying all those dirty words that I dare not repeat. Like she sure know how to make a man feel the Holy Ghost from his head to his feet. And they be coming back every week. Now, Sister Mary Alice, her be known as a shy, fragile thing in the church social circle. She was widowed at a very age in life, very early age in her life. But the other church ladies been whispering behind her back. That ain't right. They be saying she be slipping and cocktail sipping in our neck of the woods, doing things that no lady would be caught doing at the Manziel bar. Then some of y'all diggers change up here a little bit. Y'all be sitting in the church pews on Sunday morning saying, well, well, from the amen corner. Why the sisters be saying, Lord have mercy on me. Oh, Lord have mercy on me. So I ask you this question once again. Where have all the Christian folk gone? They sure ain't gone to no heavenly home. So that was the first poem that I wrote at age 16. That was one of the ways that I learned where pen and paper and my journaling, I had a way of expressing myself. So in doing all of that and in putting this book together, I have a guest that's waiting in the virtual green room here, Belinda Todd. So Belinda Todd was the editor, and she gave me her support in completing this book. She stuck with me. She edited it. She even wrote in red writing on some of the things in the notes that I had. So Belinda is an adjunct faculty member at Virginia State College. She's a yoga teacher and many actress, and she's also an ordained minister. So welcome, Belinda, to Love, Light, and Positivity.
Good morning, Imaja. What a pleasure to be with you this morning on your very first show.
Yeah, you on my first show, girl. You on my first show. And I just appreciate your love and your support that you gave me through this process. So tell our listening audience a little bit about what it was like for you taking me through this process.
Well, first of all, I suppose I am an English teacher. So it was a little bit difficult for me because your poems were free verse for the most part. As I looked at them, I could feel your spirit. I could feel your heart. But I didn't want to change anything that took away from that. So it was like, okay, now how will she put these in a form so that people will understand? I'm so glad you stuck to your guns. You wanted to do a short narrative, and then you introduced a series of poems about that particular subject. And I think that was a brilliant way to bring this work about. But I want to ask you some questions because I do believe that your life journey has a message for many women. So I want to ask you this. At what point did you know that this work, your musings, would be valuable to other women?
Well, one of the things that I can say to you, I really don't know when it started because I would be ashamed to share myself for fear of criticism and judgment. And because I was raised with a lot of shame, I kept all this stuff to myself. That's why the book is called Couldn't Keep It to Myself, because I decided that if I couldn't tell it, I'd just keep on writing the poem. And it just something happened. The more I shared one, then I shared another one. And then I think finally, I do remember, my partner, Elroy Boyd III, was up at my house in the country, and he read the poem. He read all of them. And he said, wow, this is good. We need to do something else with this. And we put them, and they were on stage as a play first here in Richmond, Virginia. And the first time I went to a rehearsal for the poems to be read aloud, I sat in the corner and I cried. And when the first performance was and everybody was awed at it and they received it, that's when I kind of turned the corner with knowing that I need to continue to share my journey. I think that was the turning point for me.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
of course, I had support from people like you and from Roy and from my publisher and a lot of other people because they kept telling me, well, you need to publish this. So that's when I decided to do it. But I couldn't have done it without
really,
you.
Oh, well, my part was very small. It was just a little beginning. But, you know, it is a coming-of-age story in poetry form because you talk about those musings as a young teenage girl, and then you bring it up to very contemporary times. But one of the things I do want to ask about, you talk about the things you saw, the hardships and the dualities of life that you saw, you know, men being in the church as a deacon and then coming to the juke joint. But you also saw women helping one another navigate the rough parts of life.
Yes. Yeah, and
so that you saw that.
Yeah, I saw all of that. Saw all of that.
And how valuable was that to you as you grew up into womanhood?
Well, one of the things, going back to the book again, Couldn't Keep It to Myself, which is available on Amazon.com. You can get it. And if you live in Richmond, Virginia, you can get it at Unity Church of Bon Air and Unity Church of Richmond and at Barnes & Noble Chesterfield Mall. I just want to put that little plug in there. But one of the things, I wrote one of the poems in the book, in which I've been doing a lot of speaking on, is called Sisters Sitting in the Blessing. And
of my favorites.
And I recognize that the women contributed a lot to, they taught me how to be a sister. They taught me how to give each other support because those women in that community had croaking circles. They had missionary circles in the church, and they were on the fellowship committees at the church, and they shared and they supported the men in ways that they would never be who they are. They wouldn't. They were in the background, but they had all the power. When I say power, I don't mean above people, anything like that. But that's the way it was. I learned a lot, and I wrote about it.
Do you think? Do you think that we can develop those kinds of bonds today, women among ourselves?
Yeah, I know it's possible because that's what I'm doing. I have a tribe.
All right.
I have a tribe of women, and I encourage our listeners, you need 5 people in your tribe. You need someone that's going to be honest with you, and you need someone that's going to tell you when you are going down the wrong path, but they're going to tell you in a non-shaming and a non-blaming way. And you need someone that has gone down the path that is further than you have been. And then you need to remember where you came from, someone that's going to remind you of your history. Because we stand on the back of 10,000, this is our Black History Month, and we have to remember that somebody else paid the price where we are today. That somebody else has gone before us, and the women have done this. And you know, you are part of my tribe. You know, you are part of my tribe. And so a support system like you. And I want to tell everybody, you cannot do this journey by yourself. You have to put God first.
Yes.
Love yourself and surround yourself with people that will support you for you to emerge and evolve into a lifestyle that's good.
Let me
answer
this
God.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, and that is truly the way you live. You have one poem that talks about the SSS girls, spiritual, sensual, and sassy. So what makes an SSS girl? How do we integrate, you know, because we want to be spiritual, but we also want to have that sensual side of us and a little sassiness and boldness. How do we manage to do that?
Well, one of the things that I'm going to ask of you is you to come back on my show, and we'll do a whole show just based on the dance of the SSS girl because of the time factor that's involved right now, because that sensuality and not sexuality, but sensuality and spirituality and soulfulness, that's going to be the dance of the SSS girl is going to be my next book. It's an anthology that I have coming up. So we need to have a whole discussion around that. And you'll come back, and we'll do it. We'll do it.
All right.
Yeah,
I look forward to that.
And one of the things being that this is Valentine's month, I want to express my love for you, Belinda, as I said before. And I just give thanks to you every day for being in my life. And so I have a new poem. It's called Love Lifted Me. And I want to read this. This is the first time that it's gone public. I think I know I read it at church for Reverend Lydia Evans on Sunday. So this will be the first time. It's called Love Lifted Me. Love poured down love poured down like a gentle morning dew on a warm spring day. It poured down and put me at ease, relaxed in me, and I gently let go and surrendered all my perceived burdens to the one that I believe in, the only one in the universe. I surrendered everything that was holding me down. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. Love lifted the veil that permeated and penetrated the portals of my illusion, my obsessive thoughts, and imagined bag of old emotional pain, the bag that was filled with fear, doubts, broken relationships, and many disappointments. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. Love opened my inner knowingness and deepened my interconnectedness to the one presence and one power in the universe, which had become shut down by the dense, concretized, out of perspective and out of my enoughness and my less than emptiness. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Then I said to myself, what else does love do? Love revealed itself to me in my nightly dreams as I slept. It washed away, a total body wash, and it even smelled good. Love swept away all of the maya, the negativity, all forms of worldliness. And then love risked me, spotless, as clear as the blue sky. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. Wow, wow, my new adventure, there's room to play. Hop, skip, and jump like a five-year-old kid, and even snorting and yawning and yelling. And let me not forget a silly, silly giggle. Yes, yes. I am now on a higher vibration of joy, bliss, and inner serenity with peaceful contentment. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. And so like the magic and the puffs in the air, the shades and the shackles were released from my mind. I was left in love. The luminosity of spirit filled me, and I became a beacon of its light. And for the first time in my life, I know exactly what I was created to be. I was created by love, for love, to be love. Oh, me, oh, my, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would do, love lifted me. That's my latest creation.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's something that we all need to remember every day, that it is only love.
It's only love.
Very nice.
I want to thank you for joining me. And you have agreed that you will come back and we will do a whole show on the discussion of the SSS girl. And
absolutely.
I want to tell And thank you. And I want to tell our listening audience that I will be on again on the 27th of February, and then following that, March on the 3rd and the 27th. Every other week I will be on at the same time. Please listen and make your comments. And I thank you all for joining me today. It's been my pleasure to bring you love, light, and positivity. And go out and be a light and not the lampshade today. Thank you so very much to Kayla and to Josie for this opportunity. And again, thank you, God, and thank you, Belinda. We'll see you next time.
But I keep it to myself.
But the Lord has a story.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.